following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. I'm here live in studio awaiting Hurricane Henry. Well, I've just heard it's been downgraded to a tropical storm now, so I guess I'm not as worried anymore. Not that I was really worried before, but man, if you were watching the news yesterday or following social media and people making plans, it was like, you know, the Armageddon was coming. This morning, and would we still be laying in our beds this morning or just floating in a tornado somewhere with Dorothy headed off to the Wizard of Oz? It was, I was talking with our producer Biff before the show today, and I was saying, you know, I remember, and it wasn't that long, well, I guess 40 years ago was a long time ago, you know, when we would go to school, you know, if it was snowing out, you'd look out the window and you go, oh, I guess I got to put the plastic bags on my feet and put boots on and a jacket. And we're walking to school today, right, Biff?
Plastic boots.
Plastic boots. And, you know, you had to put the baggies on your feet, right?
Exactly. You know, well, you didn't want to get, you didn't want your feet wet.
No, you didn't want that, no. You know. And,
but you're definitely going.
Right.
Oh, you're going.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, we didn't have those fancy Ziploc bags. We had the little fold-over pouches.
There you go.
Right, with the sandwich bags. Oh, yeah. That you'd put on there. Things were rough.
Oh, by the way, Mark, and just a real quick correction.
Yeah.
Henri, not Henry.
Oh, it's Henri.
Henri.
Oui.
Apparently he's French.
French. Henri.
Not Henri. Calling him Henri.
Henri. Okay, we'll get, well, so to Tropical Storm Henri. Henri, yes.
Bring him on. I can see behind you, Mark, so I can look out the window behind Mark. Mark's in beautiful Studio A here in the Treetop Studios at North Shore 104.9. I can see the tree starting to move a little bit, Mark, a little bit.
Yeah, a little, yeah. I guess
I'm not, yeah. He's not buying it.
They're moving a little. I mean, the flag is fluttering, that is all, but it is not, the wind is not quite here. The puddles aren't here, but it is
trying to set a stage here.
Yeah, right? I know it is. It is not well. The sail sign, the mattress firm sail sign next door.
That thing's
just
moving.
It's waving. I don't even know if it's moving all that much, but I guess the storm is coming. So we are here,
and we're not making light of it.
No, not at all. Not at all. Because, no. Take it seriously. Because if you go into the supermarkets right now,
there's no milk.
No milk. No, that's it. Oh, if you wanted anything
nice
today,
try.
Forget it. They're all out. Right. So hopefully you got all your goodies. And or your cans of SpaghettiOs at home, because, you know, it might be a tough day today.
And hopefully you have your bottled water.
Bottled water. And get your candles ready.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to need the candles. Actually, it's daytime today, so I don't know if you'll need the candles yet. But have them ready for tonight.
Have them ready.
Just in case we lose that power. Yep. And
I think we are making light of it.
Oh, you're definitely making light of it, for sure. And then some of the news stations are over-covering it with 74 newscasters stationed in 101 locations to show you how big the waves are, how much the mist is coming through. And, oh, my God, take a look at the depth of this puddle. Yes, there will be areas that get flooded. I always remember years ago I was traveling in Germany. I was with Laura at the time, and we're watching the news, and it was, I forget the name of the storm, hurricane, tropical storm, whatever it was, and we're watching television on BBC or CNN or whatever it was, and there's a picture of Petrillo's in downtown Peabody on I'm in Germany, and I'm watching this. They go, oh, the weather. You know, Peabody gets flooded. And when Peabody gets flooded downtown, it gets a little miserable. But when you see this from another perspective, when you're not in Peabody, you're in Germany, or you're in Oklahoma, or you're somewhere else, you think that's what the entire state looks like. Right? It's not just that one block or two block area. It's what the entire state looks like. And it's just not the case. So part of what I do here, and, you know, that's what we're doing here, is financial advice in a language you can understand.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought that, right? Is I try to put a reality check on everything, because everything seems to be nationalized here. When you see something on the news, when you hear something on the radio, when you see something on social media, you seem to think that if it's happening on what I see, it must be happening everywhere. Folks, that is not the case. Look, this past week, I had the opportunity to drive my son Noah out to University of Rochester, where he's going to school. And when I got to Rochester and we're driving around town and doing, you know, the Target run and all that kind of stuff to buy him stuff for his dorm room, it was a reality check for me and a reminder that many people don't leave the Massachusetts or even the Eastern Seaboard coastline. And we don't head west. And if we head west, it's usually in an airplane that takes us to the West Coast. And so we miss everything in between. So drive 6 or 7 hours out to Rochester, and you will realize that the socioeconomic landscape there, the way people live, the lifestyle that is out there, is so far different from the lifestyle that you and I have grown accustomed to right here on the North Shore. And it's a reminder to me, and a reminder to share with you, that what we see on the news and what is told to us about what's happening with, whether it's a Delta variant somewhere, whether it's a crisis in some community, whether it's a police outburst in another community, or a, or having to ration what you're eating or bringing into your house, or the bad water or whatever it is, those are very local issues. As much as the national news wants to report it, a lot of these things are very localized or regionalized. And it's not national. And just because an area in Florida is panicking about something doesn't mean that we have to worry about the ripple effect of it covering the rest of the country. Yeah, there will always be issues. Always be issues. But we have to be responsible in recognizing that the United States is not the size of Boston, Massachusetts. The United States is a vast landmass, including an island of Hawaii. Now, my daughter Mindy, seems to think that Alaska is also an island. Now, I don't mean to throw her under the bus, because when I ask other people this question, I say, you know, when I asked someone, I was telling the story about someone said that he was driving to Alaska, and I can't tell you how many people, and forgive me if I embarrass you here as you're listening to the radio, have said to me, how can you drive to Alaska? What do you mean, how can I drive to Alaska? You drive through Canada and you go to Alaska. No. Have you not seen the map? If you look at the map, Hawaii is an island and Alaska is an island. When you look at a map of the United States, go into your local schools and you see a picture of the United States. There's a picture of the United States. There's a little box that has Hawaii, because in order to put it closer to the United States, they have to put it in a box, because they'd have to get a much bigger map. And so what they do the same thing with Alaska. So I couldn't believe how many people I've talked to that believe that Alaska is an island. They just remove the Canadian part of this whole thing. So I shake my head. It is how gullible we have become when it comes to the information that we read, because we look to sound bites. We look to flashes. We look to little memes or whatever it is, and we believe this is what it is. So what my goal is here today, and what I do every Sunday when I'm on this radio show, is to try to give you financial advice in a language you can understand. Financial advice that brings things into a perspective that you could say, hey, I learned something today. Something that wasn't a national statement, but something that might apply to me. Because in most cases, and you're going to hate this, in most cases, the answer to a financial question is, it depends. And that stinks for a lot of people. Most people just, what the hell should I do? Come on, tell me what I should do. Well, it depends. And it depends on a lot of stuff. And the more we know about your situation, the better we can give you advice. And that's one of the biggest distinctions between a financial planner, a certified financial, something that I am, and many people who carry a certified financial planner designation, and an investment guy. And you got to ask yourself right off the bat, when it comes time to talk about finances, do you want an investment guy? Girl, gal, person, I don't know, whatever characteristic or whatever pronoun you want to put at the end of it. Or do you want to work with a financial planner? Because here's a question to ask when you're thinking about financial planning. Here's the question that says, how would you define enough? What does that mean? How do you define enough? You know, that's really what everybody's trying to get to these days. When you're trying to figure out, I'm working, I'm putting money in my 401k, my 403b, maybe I'm saving my pension, maybe I got an inheritance coming, but I'm trying to cover my expenses, paying for my kids to go to school, paying off the mortgage, all of these things. But at some point, I want to retire, because that's the ultimate goal here, right? It's to retire. I think that's what most people say. I want to work so that I can enjoy the rest of my life. I don't know if that's the right way to approach things, by the way. Should we work our butts off for 30 years so that we can reach a period of time in our life when we're a little less able to do the things we wanted to do, but we have the money to do them? Think about that. For the first, you know, when you're working, you're able to be a bit more ambitious. You can be a bit more physical. You can be a bit more athletic. You can go in and have the endurance to do so many more things. But we end up using all of that endurance to work and work and work and work and stress and save and do all of that. And then we get to age 65 or age 70 and we go, I made it. I got all this money. Now I want to do all the things I want to do, but oh, my back hurts. Oh, my knee's a little stiff. Oh, I got this little treatment, a procedure I have to do at the doctor's office. And can I go off to Europe for 2 weeks? Because I don't know what kind of doctor treatments they're going to have. Do we find a balance? And so part of what I do in being a financial planner is trying to figure out, are we shooting towards building enough so that we can retire, or trying to live with a foot in the present and a foot in the future so you can do a little bit of both? Because that's really the bigger goal here. You want to live your life to its fullest, not live your life to its fullest when you're at the most mature of ages in your life. Wouldn't you like to live life to your fullest now and then? Because one of the things that I see, and I see it a lot, I mean, more than a lot, is that people approach retirement, or they live in retirement, and they end up short selling themselves. They end up not doing the things that they want to do because they're so worried that they don't have enough money. Yet in reality, they have more money than they know what to do with. They just don't know how to spend it. And in reality, what happens is they live the life that is similar to the lifestyle they've always known. And they end up leaving a fortune, a bloody fortune, to the next generation. And when that generation inherits it, man, their lives are changed. You've changed their lives. But has your life changed? Do you have regrets? Do you worry? What is enough? When do you realize what is enough when it comes to money? Do you have enough? Do you have too much? Do you know how to tell when there's enough to do what you want? And who's there to guide you? And then all of a sudden, Kramer steps up to the plate, or Susie Orman, or some talking head on a TV show that says, you need to have X number of dollars, or you're not doing this right, or you need to do this, or you need to do that, and you freak out. And then all of a sudden, the market drops 10%, and you hear the words plunge and plummet and crash, and you worry, oh my goodness, what happens if I don't have enough? Maybe I need to save more. Maybe I need to spend less. Maybe I need to do things differently. Folks, when it comes to working with a financial planner, we look at all of those aspects. We look at things through a rational lens rather than an emotional one. We try to understand the big picture of where you are, not just what you tell us, but what you show us. I can't tell you how many people will come to my office and list off what they think they have as a net worth. And then they realize they don't understand what they really have as a net worth because it's just going by recollection. A net worth consists of a lot of things. It consists of what you own, all the things you own, whether it's bank statements, investment statements, a trust account, an annuity, an IRA, a 401k, a Roth IRA, the home that you have. Maybe it's a second house, a car, jewelry. Everything is part of your net worth. And then I love it when people say, well, I don't have any debts. No debts at all, huh? They say, no, I don't have any student loan debts. I don't have any credit card debts. Well, that's great. Do you have a mortgage? Well, of course I have a mortgage. Well, a mortgage is a debt, folks. A mortgage is a debt. A car loan is a debt. A boat loan is a debt. But some people don't look at those because they say, oh, those must be good debts rather than bad debts, which might be credit card debt. Or student loan debt is not a bad debt, but it's a debt. But they see that as debt, but they don't see a mortgage as a debt or an equity loan as a debt. When you work with a financial planner, we help you understand what is enough or what does enough mean to you. And when we get back, I want to answer a whole bunch of questions. That's what I thought I'd do today, is I would address some questions that have been asked to us lately or asked to other financial advisors. I see questions that get posted on all these online websites. I want to give you some guidance. I want to give you the bigger picture, not just the soundbite, because that's what sometimes people are looking for, and they're acting on the soundbite. And man, that is the biggest mistake you could ever make in your life. So here's one. Here's one that people are always looking for a soundbite. And we'll come back and I'm going to answer this question when we get back. Here's the question. What stock would you happily hold for 10 years or more? What stock would you hold happily for 10 years or more? Now that doesn't sound like a question I typically ask on this radio show because you know I don't talk about stocks. But I want you to think about that as we go into the break. And when we get back, I'll try to help you process that question and think it through a little further. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. It's not about the
money. Come on, it's about the money. You know that. Stop with that. It's not about the money. Everybody knows it's about the money. We all want to make it. We all want to have it. We all want to spend it. We all want to use it. It's about the money. Does money buy happiness? Yeah, it does. Come on. Come on. Just all these people on the, oh, money doesn't buy happiness. It does buy happiness. Now, you can have too much money And there's a level of having money to have happiness. But if you don't have money, you're not happy. Unless you're an infant, then you're always happy. Unless you have a dirty diaper, I guess. But I don't know where I'm going with that, Biff. But, you know, it was the start of the music that was like, it's not about the money. Come on, it's about the money. It is about the money. All right. So my name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Like I said, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts.
You know, Mark, when a hurricane approaches, the barometer really goes low. And they say it can do weird things to your brain.
Oh, my God.
Because your brain is made up primarily of liquid, and it can do weird things.
So maybe water?
It's
made up of water. It's water. That water thing that we've been talking about all day today.
So I think we're a little bit off the rails here this morning.
A little off the rails.
In addition to that, I mean, it's a full moon tonight as well.
Was it a full moon tonight or last? Did you see the moon last night?
I did not.
Oh, my God.
Maybe it was last night. I don't know.
I don't know. The moon was a huge orangey moon, like this harvest moon.
Really?
Really, really cool looking moon. I know I'm going off the rails here again, but I was driving to Tung's Taste, one of my favorite Chinese restaurants.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Haven't been to Tung's Taste. It's in Middleton, right in the Dairy Queen Plaza, right across the street from, it was the Best Bagel across the street. There's McDonald's across the street, but everyone knows where the Dairy Queen is in Middleton. Tung's Taste, you go see Eric and you see Kevin. They're the two owners of the place. They make some of the best drinks. They have this thing called a smoke box. You ever seen a smoke box? It's a glass box that's about, I don't know, it's like a 6-inch cube. It's glass all the way around. There's brass on the edges. And they make two different kinds of drinks. They do a whiskey drink and some kind of a Japanese beverage that they do. They got the nice big ice cube in the middle. They pour in the drink. They put it in the smoke box. And then they add this hose to the box and fill it with this oaky, smoky smoke. Smoky smoke.
Maybe smoky smoke.
Smoky smoke, yeah. And they deliver it to your table, and this box is like filled with smoke, and there's a glass inside there. And you can smell it coming to the table, and you let it sit there. The smoke starts to infuse into the whiskey or in the scotch or whatever it is that you're having for the drink that they've made. And then you open up the door to the smoke box, and poof, the smoke comes pouring out, rippling out, filtering through the entire restaurant, and you grab your drink, and this drink is like infused with this smoke. It's pretty cool, actually.
That might have been the best commercial I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. So it's really cool. So that they have that at Tung's Taste over in Middleton, Massachusetts. You go see Eric, you go see Kevin. I mean, Laura and I are there. I think we're there at least once a week. Now, the place doesn't seat more than 20 people. They do a huge takeout business. And I have a feeling that they're going to get busier in the weeks to come, because around the corner, the other Chinese restaurant in Middleton, I don't know if you've heard, but China Villa over on, I want to say it's East Street or something like that, over in Middleton, China Villa is closing. They're closing August 31st. China Villa has been there for some 30, 40 years. They're closing the doors and a new place is going in. A new place, a barbecue place. It's going to be called the Smoke King, or Smoking with two Ks. The Smoke King. And it's going to be a restaurant that does American barbecue and Asian fusion. So I don't know how they're putting that all together, but it's owned by the same guys that own Gourmet Garden. One of the guys that owns Gourmet Garden over in Beverly, actually right across the street here from where I am here on Enon Street, right around the corner.
Right up the street.
One of the chefs there, he's doing the Asian fusion part. There's the guys from Smoking that are coming up from Connecticut, coming together to do this Asian and barbecue experience, hoping to open around October 1st. So you heard it here first. No, I didn't mean to steal that from you, Scott Whitley. I know you're coming up after me. So I just broke a story, perhaps, and didn't mean to step on your thunder, but I was reading Facebook, and if it's on Facebook, it must be true.
The restaurant review portion of our program is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody, Massachusetts.
But encouraging you to find the real facts about restaurants and about food on the Wicked Bites TV, because, hey, I'm just reading off Facebook, and you know that necessarily isn't true.
Definitely have to listen to Scott next.
Yes, Scott and Carol have that all figured out. Anyways, when I last left you, we were talking about some of the questions that people ask all the time and how we can make uninformed decisions and some of the stupid things that we do based upon a soundbite, a news feed, something we see on in Facebook, on Instagram, on a meme somewhere, something that someone told us about, or a friend or a coworker. So earlier in the show, we talked about how would you define having enough? What is enough money? Who decides what's enough? And I've told you earlier in the show about some of the pitfalls and challenges that I see with so many people who approach retirement or live in retirement who have more than enough, yet they feel like they don't have enough. And so they don't do enough and instead leave too much to the next generation, where that next generation manages with that money irresponsibly when those who had enough could have done more with it and perhaps given with warm hands rather than cold ones. People love that expression. I say that a lot on this radio show. As you're approaching retirement or living in retirement, would you rather give with warm hands rather than cold ones? And what I've seen over the years is, yes, wealth in America is far greater than it's ever been, ever been. And more people have more wealth than ever before. Now, wealth, what does wealth mean? Does wealth mean I have an extra $100,000? I have an extra million, 10 million, 500,000? What's the number? What does it mean to be wealthy? Look, I bet, you know, it used to be when we were kids. I can't wait. Oh, my God. If only I was a millionaire. If I was a millionaire. A millionaire means nothing these days. The term billionaire gets thrown around a lot. A billionaire is a lot tougher than being a millionaire. Millionaire, I bet more than 75% of the people listening to this radio show right now, because it's not kids, they're not up this early. So the older generation, I bet 75% of the people listening to this show have a net worth of $1 million or more right now. Think about that. What is a net worth? Net worth isn't just what you have in your 401k or in your bank account. A net worth also includes the equity in your house, the value of your car, the present value of your pension, an annuity you might have, cash value of life insurance. Lots of things make up your net worth. And when I show people their net worth and they see that it's over $1 million and I say, hey, do you feel like a millionaire? You know what the answer always is? No. No, I don't feel like a millionaire. You kidding me, Mark? Well, then what is a millionaire? To be a millionaire, do you have to have what now? 10 million? Or is it a millionaire? A millionaire is $1 million. So maybe we should just get rid of that term. Maybe we should just be shooting to be a billionaire. But well, that'd be nice. Remember, a billion is 999.99999 million plus a penny. That's a lot. A lot. But million is something that we all have to just kind of accept. It's part of our lifestyle these days. But what is enough? Is 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 10 million? What's the number? It's different for everybody. So one of the things that I talked about in the last segment was I said I was going to ask you a question to think about. And it's a question that people ask all the time. And the question is, what stock would you happily hold for 10 years or more? What stock would you happily hold for 10 years or more? Now, I want you to think about that question because, as you well know, when you listen to me on this radio, I do not encourage people to buy individual stocks. I think it is the greatest risk. I think it is it gets too emotional. People can get lucky and people can lose all their money. Yes, when you own an individual stock, can you make a lot of money? Sure. Can you lose it all? Absolutely. Can you make nothing on it and just hold its course for a long time? Yes. Can you get a dividend? Sometimes. What do you do? But what's the stock that you would happily hold for 10 years or more? Now, I wouldn't be surprised with the world that we're in today for someone to think, oh, I might have named one of those cryptocurrencies that I want to hold for 10 years or more. Or maybe I want to buy one of these electric-powered car manufacturers. Maybe that's what I'd want to hold for 10 years or more. Maybe I'd want to own some technology company. Maybe it's a phone manufacturer. You could be naming all sorts of stocks. But I want you to think back now, some 20 years ago. 20 years takes us back to, well, the year 2000, 2001. If someone were to ask you what 10 stocks, not knowing what you know today, but think back 20 years, 2001, look, we're approaching the 20th anniversary of 9/11, right? With 9/11 just actually a couple weeks away. What stocks, if you were asked that question 20 years ago, would you say, I'd happily own this stock 10 years? You know what a lot of people would say? I bet they'd say 20 years ago, oh, geez, pretty good company. That's a company I'd want to own. Ford, there's a pretty good company. Maybe Merck. Maybe Bristol-Myers or Pfizer or Bank of America. With those, how do you know, right? Some companies have done well. Some companies have done poorly. But are you prepared to hold on to those stocks when they drop 50 or 60 or even 70% after a plane goes flying through the Twin Towers or after a coronavirus strikes here in America like it did in March of 2020? Or after a number of different types of incidents that cause a stock to fluctuate like it fluctuates? Would you hold on? Would you happily hold that stock for 10 years or more? And if it's a popular stock, you know what's happening? It's getting ripped in the news if it's not doing well. Everybody is trying to knock the stock down. When you are the 800-pound gorilla, everybody wants to knock you down. So right now, what stocks are people trying to go after right now? You look at a stock like Elon Musk's company, right? Tesla's had its nice run going up, going down, going backwards and forwards. But there's a lot of people who are really don't want Elon Musk to succeed. A lot of people are very angry at Jeffrey Bezos over at Amazon for his ability to fly in a plane, fly in a rocket ship up to out into the outer space when he could. When they say he could have been using his money for other purposes. Look, the guy made money. He can use money any way he wants. That's what capitalism is all about. People can get mad for a lot of different reasons, and it can cause a stock to fluctuate or go up or go down. That is why, folks, you and I have no business owning individual stocks. You know why? Because you and I don't have any control of what happens to a stock in the stock market. If you want to buy 100 shares of Google or 100 shares of Bank of America or 100 shares of any stock that's out there, what type of education, what type of intellectual background do you have that says buying 100 shares of this stock is smarter than the portfolio manager of a mutual fund who is going to make a decision on buying 1 million shares of the stock that you're thinking about? That person has a discipline. That person has a plan. That person has a strategy to say, when the stock hits X price, I'm going to sell part. When it drops a little bit, I'm going to buy a little bit more or sell some. They have a plan. You and I, when we buy stocks, when the average person buys stocks, they buy the stock with hopes that it will go up or down in a short enough period of time so that they can make a quick buck. And that isn't the question that I asked a minute ago. I said, which stock would you happily hold for 10 years or more? Which means be prepared for it to go up and down and up and down and up and down. Most people don't want to do that. They want to get lucky. They want to get lucky. And by the way, when the stock does really well in the short term, then they want it to get more. They want to make more. They want it to grow even further. They don't even want to sell. They don't want to keep it. But when it drops, that's when they want to sell it. Folks, investors need discipline. And when your discipline is part of a financial plan, you look through a totally different lens than you do if you're working with an investment guy who's going to say, hey, you should sell this, or you buy this, sell this, or buy this. That's not what you want to be doing at this point. If you're preparing yourself for the future, if you want a financial plan, if you want to find success, you got to have rational behavior. You got to be using a financial plan. And I hope that you'll look to a firm like ours or any firm that holds out a CFP designation to find that success. Before we head off to a break, and I know I've run a little long here. Before we head off to a break, I want you to consider signing up for our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. We've been sending this out since March of 2009. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman. To E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. Put in your name, your email address, and you will join the 7,500 other subscribers who get Planning Pointers each and every week. It's filled with financial advice in a language you can understand. You're not going to get solicited by me, nothing like that. It's just some good free advice. And if you need to talk with us at some point, there's an easy way for you to find us. All right, taking a quick break. When we're back, I got some more questions that people have been asking me, and I want to share them with you. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hey, ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too I wouldn't have
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante Peabody.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante at 41 Cross Street in Peabody. Hope you're all doing well and preparing for Tropical Storm Henri. Henri is coming through here. Not Henry, but Henri. I got to practice my French, eighth grade French that I took at Peabody's Kennedy Junior High School, which is not there anymore.
No.
No, Kennedy's long gone. Anyways, like I said, I'm here in studio today watching a few raindrops fall. It is really not much of a storm right now. It's coming, I guess, at some point. We'll see. Did the meteorologists overestimate this one, or did they hit it right? Or I don't know. I was a little petrified yesterday. I went out in my backyard before I went in for the night, and it was a beautiful day yesterday, so I was out by the pool hanging out. But we took in all the cushions, flipped some of the chairs over. Just, I don't want anything flying into my pool if that was the case. And we're prepared, but maybe I overprepared. Who knows? But I guess it's better to be overprepared. And frankly, hey, that's what planning's all about, too. You want to be prepared and sometimes even over-prepared because you never know what's going to happen next. So, in the past couple segments, we've been answering some questions that people have sent in to me, and I've been trying to offer answers from the perspective of a financial planner, not from the perspective of the investment guy. Because one of the things that I'm trying to do here on this radio show is explain and tell you about the importance of looking at your financial life and working with a financial planner, not just trying to address a particular money issue. Oh, I just inherited $40,000. Oh, I just got a bonus. Oh, I just got this. And not know how this amount of money that you might have had come into your life or major expense you might have had, you can't look at it in isolation. It has to be, how does it all fit into everything else? I thought it was interesting. Recently, someone was looking to buy a home, and the house was going to cost $500,000. And this person actually had $600,000 in the bank. And they had a $700,000 investment portfolio. And they also had the ability to borrow money to buy this house. And they said, well, you know, I don't want to borrow any money because I just don't want a mortgage. It doesn't matter that interest rates are at 2 or 3%. They didn't want to have a mortgage. But nor did they want to take the money out of the bank. In fact, they'd rather cash out their investment portfolio to buy the house. And I said, but you're going to pay tax if you cash out the investment portfolio. Yeah, but at least I won't have any more risk. This was the expression that they had. At least I won't have any more risk. You see, I won't have the risk of the stock market, and my bank account is guaranteed, and we all know that housing prices just go up, right? No. But they seem to think that that was the case. And no matter how hard I tried to look at the big picture of what they had, they were hell set on cashing out their investment portfolio, and they did, and they paid taxes on it, and they were able to buy the house. But folks, one of the things that I'm seeing lately and it's happening very quickly, is remember about a month and a half ago, you could sell your house and whatever you were asking for, someone would give you $50,000 to $100,000 more, right? They didn't want an inspection. They didn't even want to see the house. They buy it online without, you could just take snapshots with your iPhone and say, hey, a house for sale, or sell it on eBay for all I know. People were paying extraordinary prices. Well, those days are slowly coming to an end. And the reason why, few reasons. Number one, I think you can drive down any street in Massachusetts these days and find a house that's for sale. Everybody decided to jump on the bandwagon, and now where there was no inventory of real estate, there is tons of inventory in real estate, and we're back to bidding wars, we're back to bargaining, we're back to having to perhaps take less. The challenge is, though, is if interest rates start to go up, and interest rates will go up in the near future. What is the near future? Not next week, not significantly in the next 6 months or a year, but figure the next 3 to 5 years, I would bet interest rates are higher. That means it costs more to borrow money for a mortgage on a house. So all these people that paid a premium price on their house and they're thinking, oh, I'm going to make money on my house. And I will sell it in 3 or 4 years. I'll even put some improvements into the house because it's so cheap to borrow money. You are going to be in for a surprise. You are not going to get the premium that you thought you were going to be getting on that house. So if you bought a house in the past year, certainly even the past 6 months, it is my hope that you plan on staying in this house for at least 5 years, perhaps 10 years or longer. Because if you think there's a chance on making a significant profit on your home, you may be sorely mistaken. Housing prices don't always go up. Housing prices can come down too. And if interest rates go up, it makes it more difficult for people to borrow money to buy a home. So be careful. If you're out buying a place, make sure that you're buying a house for the right reason. You're not buying it because, oh my goodness, I'm going to flip and turn this house in a year or two. All right, here's another question that someone had asked me. I thought this was always interesting. What do other people with quotation marks, what do other people spend too much money on? Because you don't spend too much money on anything, do you? They want to know what other people spend too much money on. Now, I will admit, when people come to our office, one of the first things that we try to do is we try to get a gauge both on their net worth, what they own, less what they owe, and who owns it. But we also try to understand what is it that they're spending generally on a month-to-month basis. And most people far underestimate what they think they're spending on a month-to-month basis. But we have a technique that allows us to figure this all out. We ask you to bring us 6 or even 12 months bank statements because most people pay their bills from one account. Now, many people say, oh, I don't do that. I got my credit card. I got this. I got that. Well, yeah, but you're paying your credit card through your bank account. Your paycheck is being deposited into one bank account. It's generally one. Sometimes people have two. Sometimes people have 14, but generally people have one or two. And we look at those bank statements. Now, do I go through the line-by-line item to see what you're spending money on? Absolutely not. I could care less. But what I want to find is at the very top or the bottom of these statements is the amount of money that's coming into your household every month and the amount that's going out. And that's clearly defined at the top or the bottom by saying total deposits, total withdrawals. I'll then look through your bank statement and we'll see, okay, is there some anomalies? Is there $500 going to an account at Fidelity? Well, that's savings. That's not necessarily an expense. Is there $200 that's going into an IRA account? Or was there a $10,000 expense that went towards replacing the driveway? That's a one-time event. What are some of the consistent expenses that we get used to? And we find out what those numbers are. And I will tell you normally, and I've told you this several times on the radio show, when we see how much somebody spends and then we share that with them, they don't believe us. And then we have to prove it to them and show them. And they go, oh, well, yeah, maybe that's true. And maybe I forgot about that. Because people think about their expenses when you ask them, what do you spend money on? Well, I got my mortgage, I got my taxes, I got electric bill, I got the cable bill, I got the phone bill, I got this. But then they forget about how much money they spend on food. They forget about how much money they spend on eating out, on entertainment, on ice creams, on coffees, on all these things add up. So what do people spend too much money on? And you know, I often say that's not for me to decide what someone's spending too much money on. Because if it's what you enjoy doing and it's within the scope of your lifestyle, go for it. You know, some people would say some people would think some people spend too much money on shoes. If you ask some women, they say, I don't spend too much money on shoes. I need a pair of shoes to match every one of my outfits. Or handbags. Why anybody would spend $2,000 on a handbag is beyond me. But some people do it. Now, if you don't have the resources to spend that kind of money, you don't do that, of course. But if you do, you do it. Because it's a one-time expense. It's an investment. I get it. But how about going out to eat? When you think about going out to eat, where do you go? Do you go to Fridays? Do you go to the 99? Or do you go to Palana? Or Strega? Or Grill 23? Where do you go? And is going to Palana a special occasion? Or is it a regular, or is just in any ordinary night out, let's go get a steak? The bigger part of this all, whether it's Palana, whether it's Strega, whether it's the 99, whether it's Joe and Cindy's Pub, or Tongue's Taste that I talked about earlier. Most people spend a large amount of their money on liquor. The amount of money that I see people spend money on for liquor is huge. Is that too much? I don't know. I just don't know. It all depends on how it fits into your lifestyle. If you are finding that you don't have enough money at the end of the month, there's not enough money left over at the end of the month, and you need to cut back, yeah, probably the thing that you're spending too much money on could be liquor, could be eating out, could be concert tickets. It could be all sorts of extracurricular activities. Maybe it's golf or, I mean, God forbid, Mark, don't say golf. You can't take golf away from me. Shh, don't tell my wife. And all right, then I'll say getting your nails done, getting your hair done. I mean, that's the offset, right? When I heard someone spent $600 to get their hair done, $600 to get your hair done. I mean, I guess they were getting it colored or whatever, but still, $600? I pay $25 to get my hair cut every 6 weeks. Thank you, Gene. Over at, you know, Gene's Barbershop in Peabody. Been going to see Gene since I was 6 years old. Say hello to Gene. He's still there. Gene's, I don't know. Gene's got to be like 172 right now, but he still acts like he's 40, and he's still cutting hair over there. What are other people spending too much money on? Gosh, you know what? I don't know. Some people, everybody spends different money differently. Now, I will tell clients who approach retirement, this is the thing. Some people shortchange themselves when they approach retirement. They've gone through vacations by using the AAA booklet and using Expedia and trying to find the cheapest hotel to stay at, the cheapest airfare, and they'll go with three stops just to get a cheaper air flight and try to save money at a car rental place and all that stuff. And I say in retirement, stop that. If you have the resources, pamper yourself. Only fly when there's a direct flight to the destination. What if it's too much money, Mark? What if it costs more? I don't care. You have value in you. Spend a little bit of money for your benefit. You don't have to be so cheap all the time. Spend the money to fly direct. If you're going to fly to Europe or fly a long distance, if you have the resources, fly business class. Business class. Do you see how much money business class is? I know. But the experience is different. You deserve in retirement some great experiences. How many times do you think you'll be flying business class back and forth to Europe when you're retired? Maybe it's a few times, but what is it going to be? Next 40 times you're going to be doing it? No. Pamper yourself. When you start looking for hotels over in Europe or in Hawaii or in Asia or even in Florida for that matter, do you find the cheapest possible hotel to stay at, or do you maybe stay at a nice resort where you get pampered a little bit, where you get better treatment? Is it worth spending the money? In retirement, perhaps. But when you're approaching retirement, or when you're living your life today, you might be a little bit more careful because you know you need to save something. But when you approach retirement, when you're in retirement and you realize through a financial advisor, wow, not only do you have enough money, you have more than enough money to do what you want. Now is the fun time. That's how we spend money. That's when you get to do what you want. And I want to be with you every step of the way to make sure that you maximize that experience. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, let's talk about maximizing that experience. What can you do to make your retirement lifetime life exceptional? How can you make it exceptional? You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante Peabody. Money, money,
money, money, money, money. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. You know where I am, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante on 41 Cross Street. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes left in our show, and we've been talking about some questions that we've been getting from clients and from people just that see me around. And you know, look, I've been here for 55 years old. I've been living here in the community all my life, and 30 plus years doing financial planning. So I get to know a lot of people in the community. And I will tell you, we're approaching a very interesting time in the economic cycle and in the world that we live in today. You know, Charles Dickens once said, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. And I kind of feel like we're stuck in that space right now. Because if you think about financially, for most people, this is the absolute best of times. Not for everybody, not for everybody, but for those that have been employed, those that have worked hard to put money aside, those that have planned for their future and have stayed invested. My gosh, this has been the best of times. Stock markets are hovering near all-time highs. People who have done their best to invest in the stock market have done very well. Even those that have invested in the bond market have done well. Those that have invested in cash and left their money alone, at least you got your money. And with inflation not even rearing its head until most recently, you haven't lost too much money from a purchasing power perspective of money in the bank. But it's also been the worst of times. The stuff that with the life we've gone through with coronavirus, the lives that have been lost, the interruptions we've had to our own lifestyle, our own work life, our own relationships with our children have been the worst of times as well. But I only think things are going to get better. Things are going to get better, certainly from the part that feels like it's been the worst of times. But from the part that's been the best of times, our investments in the stock market, folks, I think we all need a wake-up call. The markets don't head in one direction. Markets wobble. Markets gyrate. Markets bounce. But we've rarely seen that over the past several years. Even the pullback that we saw in March of 2020, when the market hit its low, March 23rd, my daughter Mindy and Alana's birthday, I'll never forget that that was the low date. We've come back very quickly. And so all we've done was we've expected, as we've seen our statements every month, the statement seems to go up. Well, I think perhaps for the first time, when you get your August statement, you might actually see that it didn't go up. It could actually be flat. Should you be concerned? Absolutely not. In fact, I kind of hope that everybody's statements within the next 3 months, I know you're going to hate me for saying this, but I hope it all drops 10%. Because we all need a wake-up call. We need to realize that the stock market doesn't only go in one direction. But unfortunately, a lot of stocks have moved based upon sound bites and stories and political banter. Stocks need to move for a purpose. And one of the things that I know is, while we can't necessarily control what our government does, the CEOs that run some of the biggest corporations in America, the public companies that you and I invest in, the public companies that you and I have our 401k investments in, they're working hard to make sure that the shareholder, that's you, is well served. Yeah, does the CEO make a lot of money? Yep, he does. Or she does. But you know what? They're taking an enormous amount of risk. And I've always said, people get paid for the more they're willing to be held accountable. When you're laying bricks, which is a very, very difficult job, your job is to just do that. Lay the bricks. If your job is to work an assembly line or work at a McDonald's or work at a Dunkin' Donuts, your job is to do just that, your job. Who are you accountable to? If you screw up an order, it's an oopsie. You're not accountable. Ultimately, it gets back to management. Ultimately, it gets back to the corporation. Ultimately, it gets back to the CEO. When someone opens up a can of Coca-Cola and there's poison in the can, is the person who was working the assembly line responsible, or does the CEO take the heat and suffer the consequences of a PR nightmare, of a meltdown, of a pullback, or a protest from people? The more you're held accountable, the more you're entitled to get paid. But if you're willing to invest in the longevity of great companies, and the best way to do that is through mutual funds or exchange-traded funds or index funds or a compilation of some type of an investment structure so that you're not exposed individually to an individual stock, I believe over the long term you will be very, very well served, because those people, those CEOs, my friends, are working in your best interest. And as long as you keep your eye focused on that ball and keep your portfolio and your entire plan in perspective, knowing how everything works well together, and perhaps also working with a certified financial planner, you, my friends, are on a path, I hope, to success. And that's going to do it for me today. I got to get out of here. But before we run, I want to remind you about our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your mailbox each and every Friday morning at 10:30. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. Put in your name, your email address, and we'll get you subscribed with the 7,500 other people that receive it every Friday. And of course, if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. 8108, and I'd love to talk with you. But for now, I'm going to turn the dial over to Scott Whitley, who's sitting, I'm sure, comfortably and dry in his North Andover studios, ready to tell the world about some great places to get some great eats, because food is what it's all about. Scott, it's off to you. Have a great day, everybody. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds.
mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity sub-accounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.